الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Love for the beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. A tar supplication. O Allah, whoever reads or listens to the booklet, Love for the Beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, grant them true love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam and forgive them their parents and family without accountability. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Virtue of salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The first caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, states, reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam erases sins faster than water extinguishes fire, and reciting salam upon him is superior to freeing necks, i.e. slaves. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, Allah Almighty states in the Noble Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Qul in kuntum tuhibbunallaha fattabi'uni yuhibbukumullah. Dear beloved Prophet, say, O people, if you love Allah, then follow me, Allah will love you. This blessed verse states that following the Sunnah is a condition for attaining Allah Almighty's love. That is, if anyone desires to become beloved to Allah Almighty, i.e. a favoured servant, they should follow the Sunnah. Naturally, only the one who loves the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam will follow the Sunnah. If hypothetically someone does not love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, merely imitating and following him will not avail them, because only the one who loves the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam can become beloved to Allah Almighty. As for that fortunate member of the Ummah whom the Noble Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam himself loves and grants special favour to, how exalted will his status be. O devotees of the Prophet, our faith will only be complete when we regard the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam dearer to us than our own lives. Otherwise, we cannot be perfect believers. When does faith become perfect? Once Sayyiduna Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu said to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, you are dearer to me than everything except my own life. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam responded, No, by him in whose power lies my soul, O Umar, your love will not be complete until I am dearer to you than your own life. Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu anhu then said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, by Allah, you are dearer to me than my own life. Upon hearing this, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, Al-ana ya Umar, now O Umar, your love has become complete. Dear Islamic brothers, the noble and blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam should be dearer to us than our own lives. Although we verbally say that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is dearer to us than our own lives, and we profess our love for him, the signs and yearning of this love are missing in our actions. In contrast, our pious predecessors, rahmahumullah, did not just pledge their devotion in words, rather, they demonstrated it through their deeds. Their love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is unmatched, and they would strive to adopt all of his blessed practices, to the extent that if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam adopted a particular gesture once narrating a hadith, the noble companions radiallahu anhum would also adopt that same gesture while narrating the hadith. The last person to enter paradise. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "The last person to enter paradise will be one who stumbles and falls towards paradise, whilst the fire of hell will be scorching him. When he passes beyond hell, he will look at it and praise Allah Almighty, saying, 'Most blessed is he who has saved me from you.' Then he will see a shady tree and will supplicate to Allah Almighty, 'O Master, bring me close to this tree so that I may take shade beneath it and drink its water.' Allah Almighty will say, 'O my servant, if I grant you this, will you ask for nothing else besides it?' He will reply, 'No, O Lord,' and he will promise to his Lord that he will not ask for anything else. Allah Almighty will accept his apology because he will be seeing something that he cannot bear to resist. Allah Almighty will bring him close to the tree, and he will take its shade and drink its water. Then he will see another tree, more beautiful than the first. Seeing it, he will say, 'O Lord, bring me close to this tree, so that I may take shade beneath it and drink its water. I will not ask for anything else.' Allah Almighty will say, 'O son of Adam, did you not promise me that you would not ask for anything besides that previous tree?' Then Allah Almighty will say, 'If I bring you close to this tree, will you ask for anything else?' He will reply, 'No, O Lord,' again promising his Lord that he will not ask for anything else. Allah Almighty will accept his apology, for he will be seeing something that he cannot bear to resist. Allah Almighty will bring the person close to the tree, and he will take its shade and drink its water. Then he will see yet another tree near the gate of paradise, more beautiful and splendid than the previous two. He will say, 'O Lord, bring me near to this tree so that I may take shade beneath it and drink its water. I will not ask for anything else besides it.' Allah Almighty will say, 'O son of Adam, did you not promise me that you would not ask for anything else besides this?' He will reply, 'Indeed, O Lord, but this time I will not ask for anything else.' Allah Almighty will again excuse him, for he will be seeing something that he cannot bear to resist. Allah Almighty will bring him near to the tree, and he will take shade beneath it and drink its water. Then when he hears the voices of the people of paradise, he will say, 'O Lord, admit me into paradise.' Then, in his boundless mercy, Allah Almighty will respond, 'O servant, what could possibly withhold your requests? Would you be pleased if I granted you in paradise a place twice the size of the world?' The person will reply in amazement, 'O Allah, are you jesting with me? Yet you are Rabbul Alameen.'" After narrating this parable, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu smiled, and he said to those present, "Do you not ask me why I smile?" Everyone asked, "Why did you smile?" He replied, "When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam narrated this parable, he also smiled." The companions radiallahu anhum asked, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Why did you smile? The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam replied, due to the dhahak, I smiling of Rabbul Alameen. Because when the servant says, are you jesting with me? Yet you are Rabbul Alameen. Allah Almighty will respond, I am not jesting with you, but I have power over everything. Dear Islamic brothers, the noble companions radiallahu anhum had a passionate commitment to following the Sunnah. They would strive wholeheartedly to adopt every beloved mannerism of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and in this regard, they would not consider whether refraining from a certain act would incur sin, or whether a particular act was a sunnah mu'akkada, i.e. an emphasized sunnah, or a non-emphasized sunnah, etc. They simply observe that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam performed an act in a particular way, and then they strive to perform it in the same manner, paying no heed to criticism of others. O devotees of the Prophet, the noble companions, radiallahu anhum, were such ardent devotees of the Prophet that they showed an unrelenting desire to adopt his every mannerism. In this regard, here is another heartwarming parable. The wisdom of circling with the she-camel. Qazi Iyaz rahmatullahi alayhi narrates in his famous book, Ash-Shifa. On one occasion, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma turned his she-camel around at a certain spot. When asked about it, he replied, I know nothing except that I saw the greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam do this at this place. So I also did the same. Dear Islamic brothers, look at the fervor of the noble companions radiyallahu anhum for following the sunnah, and on the other hand, reflect upon our own love, which is utterly hollow, devoid of action, and confined to the tips of our tongues. Alas, when the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is mentioned before us, no special spiritual state overcomes us. In contrast, when the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was mentioned before our pious predecessors, rahmahumullah, their faces would change color with awe and reverence, and tears of love would flow from their eyes. Here are two heart-touching parables to increase your love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Number one, we would feel compassion for him. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi states, when a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was narrated before Sayyiduna Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani rahmatullahi alayhi, he would weep so profusely that we would feel pity for him. Number two, solemnity upon the mention of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Imam Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi was very jovial and cheerful, but when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was mentioned before him, he would become utterly serious. His face would be overcome with awe. He would carry himself with complete humility and submissiveness, and his humorous demeanor would completely vanish. Migration from Medina out of grief for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. O devotees of the Prophet, after the apparent passing of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it became difficult for many noble companions radiyallahu anhum to reside in Medina. Whenever they saw the places where the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to sit and stand, and the streets where he walked, they would become deeply saddened, unable to bear the pain of separation from him, they eventually migrated from Medina. Migration of the messenger's muazzin from Medina. Sayyidina Bilal al-Habashi radiyallahu anhu also could not bear the separation from the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. At times, such a state of tenderness would overwhelm him that he would wander frantically in the streets of Medina, asking people, "If you have seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam anywhere, show him to me too." Eventually, unable to bear this separation, he left Medina and settled in the city of Aleppo in Syria. After some time, when he slept one night, he was blessed with the blessed vision of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in a dream. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam spoke, "Ma hadhihi al-jafwatu ya Bilal, ama inna laka an tazurani." O Bilal, what is this harshness? Has the time not come for you to visit me? Upon hearing these words, Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu immediately prepared for travel, mounted his conveyance, and set off swiftly towards Medina. Remember, when a person's resolve is firmly bound to the love of Medina, nothing in the surrounding environment can distract him. Therefore, Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu had only one aim, to reach the greatest and final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as soon as possible. Finally, this ardent devotee reached the fragrant atmosphere of Medina. As he entered its streets, a state of ecstasy and spiritual intoxication overtook him. He wandered frantically through the streets of Medina in search of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When he could not find the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the streets, he went to the chamber of the mother of the believers, Lady Aisha radiyallahu anha, and reached the grave of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Then he wept and pleaded, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I was called from Aleppo to visit you, and yet when I came, you concealed yourself behind a veil. Meanwhile, word spread quickly that the muazzin of the Prophet, Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu, had arrived in Medina. At once, the blessed visions of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam resurfaced in everyone's hearts, and they began to yearn. People came weeping and pleading, asking Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu to perform his soulful call to prayer once more. However, Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu apologized and said, "O brothers, you know that when I delivered the azan during the Prophet's lifetime, I would look at him as I said, 'Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah.' But alas, today that sight is no longer before my eyes. Therefore, I cannot bear to give the call to prayer." Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu refused to deliver the azan under any circumstances. Some noble companions radiyallahu anhum proposed that the two grandsons of the greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiyallahu anhum, be brought, reasoning that if they request it, Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu would not be able to refuse. So they were quickly brought, and Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu embraced them lovingly. The grandsons requested, "O Bilal, once again, let us hear the azan you used to deliver during our grandfather's lifetime." Now, how could he refuse their request? Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu ascended to the part of the roof of Masjid al-Nabawi where he used to give the azan during the Prophet's lifetime, raising his soulful voice in the luminous atmosphere of Medina. He began to call out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The walls and doors trembled, and a state of grief overcame the people. His voice gradually echoed through Medina, leaving listeners silent with grief and prompting them to exit their homes. When Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, thousands of cries suddenly filled the air, and the city was overcome with tears. Children asked their mothers, the Muazzin of the Merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, has arrived, but we cannot see the radiant blessed face of the greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When will he arrive? When Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu recited, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and did not see the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he cried out in sorrow and fell to the ground unconscious. Upon regaining consciousness, he rose and departed towards Syria weeping. The passing of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. When the time of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu's passing drew near, his wife weeping said, Wa huznahu, oh, what a sorrowful matter. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu comforted his grieving wife, saying, Wa tarabahu, ah, what a joyful matter. Then he said, غَدًا نَلْقَى الْأَحِبَّةَ مُحَمَّدًا وَحِزْبَهُ. Tomorrow we will meet our beloved friends, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and his companions radiallahu anhum. Death is a gift for the believer. O devotees of the Prophet, death is a gift for the believer. It is also a means of beholding the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That is why a believer does not fear death, rather they rejoice, knowing that after they pass away, they will be blessed with the vision of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the grave. Exchanging all wealth and children for the vision of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, after my passing, there will be people who will wish that all their wealth and children be taken from them in exchange for being blessed with seeing me. A woman passed away whilst weeping. A woman visited the mother of the believers, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, and requested, grant me the honor of visiting the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Lady Aisha as-Siddiqa radiallahu anha opened the chamber, and upon visiting the grave, the woman wept so intensely that she passed away. Dear Islamic brothers, did you see? The woman's love for the Prophet was such that upon visiting the blessed grave, she was overcome with a spiritual state of ardent devotion, and in tears she passed away in his presence. Our pious predecessors have profound devotion and love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sadly, we lack that true spirit and passion. The noble companions radiallahu anhum did not merely express their love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam verbally, rather they demonstrated it practically. On the other hand, we only make verbal claims of love, but fall short of substantiating it through our actions. The noble companions, radiallahu anhum, were always eager to act upon every practice of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's blessed habits. Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu anhu states that a tailor invited the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam for a meal, and I accompanied him. Barley bread and broth were served before the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which contained gourd and dried salted meat. During the meal, I saw the greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam searching for the peaches of gourd from the edges of the bowl. That is why from that day onwards, I began to like gourd. O devotees of the Prophet, did you see how much the noble companions radiyallahu anhum cared for the preferences of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? Unfortunately, we disregard the preferences and sunan of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in many matters. For example, on the occasions of performing sunan like aqiqah, nikah and valima, instead of following the prophetic way, we prioritize fashion. We follow trends in tailoring and hairstyles and shave our beards, making our faces resemble fire worshippers. If we look into our own families, we will find that no one in the family has been blessed with growing their hair long in the manner of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam always kept his blessed hair long, sometimes reaching the middle of his blessed ears, sometimes reaching the full length of his blessed ears, and sometimes growing so long that they touched his blessed shoulders. Amir Ahlus Sunnah Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Razavi Damat Barakat Mul Aliya, expressing his sentiments regarding the beard, states, "May Allah Almighty grant us death upon faith before our faces, Allah forbid, resemble the enemies of Al-Mustafa. If the razor is to strike, let it be on our necks, never our beards." Alas, nowadays, many Muslims shave the hairs of their beards and discard them into filthy drains. What will become of such people in the hereafter? Those who do this should awaken to the gravity of their actions. Remember, keeping a beard of one fist length is compulsory, and shaving the beard or trimming it to less than one fist length are both forbidden acts that lead to hell. Keeping the beard is the blessed sunnah of all prophets alayhim as-salatu was-salam. There is no prophet who, Allah forbid, shaved his beard. Likewise, no saint, i.e. wali, can shave his beard. If someone who shaves his beard calls himself a saint or allows himself to be called one, he is deceiving people, because no one can truly be a saint until he follows the sunnah. A pure-hearted saint of Allah Almighty stated, "If you see a man flying in the air or walking on water, but he practically neglects any obligatory duty of Allah or the sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he is a liar. This is not a karama, i.e. a saintly marvel, but istidraj, when something extraordinary occurs in favor of the rebellious or disbelievers." Oppose the polytheists. Dear Islamic brothers, we claim to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, but we do not adorn our faces with his beloved sunnah of the beard. Whereas the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam clearly stated, "Khaliful mushrikeena waffirul liha wa ahfush shawariba, Oppose the polytheists, make your beards copious, and trim your moustaches short. He also stated, Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Whoever turns away from my sunnah is not from me. Another hadith states, Man tashabbata biqawmin fahuwa minhum. Whoever imitates a people is amongst them. Those who shave their beards should take great heed from this hadith. Allah forbid, if they are considered amongst the fire worshippers due to shaving their beards and are raised with them on the day of judgment, what will become of them? May Allah Almighty protect us all from this calamity. Ameen. بجاهي خاتم النبيين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Alhamdulillah, in today's age of trials and tribulations, the religious movement of the devotees of the noble prophet, Dawat-e-Islami, teaches us to abandon the customs and fashion of others and instead embrace the pure and beautiful sunan of the beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In this lies success in both this world and the hereafter. Sunnah attire. Dear Islamic brothers, abandon fashionable clothing and adopt sunnah inspired attire. The sunnah regarding clothing is that the length of the shirt should reach halfway up the shin and the sleeve should extend no further than the fingertips and be a handspan wide. Furthermore, a man's waist wrapper or pants should be above the ankles. Unfortunately, today we feel ashamed to keep our trousers above the ankles, even though this is a sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and the practice of the noble companions radiallahu anhum and pious saints rahimahumullah. However, the majority of the public is deprived of this sunnah and keep the trousers below their ankles. Remember, allowing the pants to hang below the ankles out of arrogance is forbidden and there is a severe warning of punishment for it. As mentioned in a hadith, that part of the waist wrapper or pants etc. which is below both ankles due to arrogance will be in the fire. Another hadith states, whilst a person was walking, dragging his waist wrapper out of arrogance, he was swallowed by the earth and will continue to sink until the day of judgment. O devotees of the Prophet, develop the habit of reflecting upon your attire. Just as a little negligence can deprive you of many sunan, conversely, a little attention can grant you the blessings of acting upon abundant sunan. Therefore, periodically examine your clothing and make the intention that, insha'Allah, from now on, you will have clothes tailored according to the sunnah. If possible, make it a habit to wear white clothes, as this is the favorite attire of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and he encouraged others to wear it. A hadith states, wear white clothing and shroud your deceased in white cloth. May Allah Almighty grant us all the zeal to act upon the sunan of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen. بجاهي خاتم النبيين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد